Well, time flies. The year 2023 is just around the corner. I mean, the end is just around the corner. A new year is coming. It's really amazing how time flies. That's why we need to redeem the time. It's very precious. Every day, every week, every month, is precious. If we don't redeem the time, when the Lord comes back, then we'll regret. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Well, the Lord gave us a burden to come back to Revelation chapters 1 and 3, because this is the main burden in the heart of the Lord in the book of Revelation. This is why he started with his first three chapters. The rest of the chapters is about judgment in this world, mainly. Right? And we don't want to be judged together with the world, would you? Right. So if we don't, then we have to take care of what the Lord is saying to the churches. Because this is what is in his heart. Remember, Ephesians chapter 5 says, Christ loves the world. No. He says what? Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. And he wants to gain what kind of a church? A glorious church. Not just any church. He wants to gain a glorious church. This is in his heart. A church without spot, without wrinkle, right? Holy, without blemish. Where can you find such a church today, Mo?
Very difficult.
Very difficult. What about in Korea? Very difficult. A glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, holy and without blemish. Where can you find that? Inglorious. How about in Africa? But then we have to ask the question, what about ourselves? What about us? What kind of a church are we building? These are serious questions. Because the Lord is our bridegroom. The bridegroom is not just going to marry anyone. I called you because you're still not married. So would you just pick anyone on the street? No. Right? You must be very choosy. You want to choose someone that you really like. Not just anyone. And don't just look at the outward. Because inward is more important than the outward. Yeah. Outward doesn't mean much. It changes. After 10 years, it changes. Right. But what is inward is most important. Especially our Lord. Our Lord is definitely not looking for outward mega churches. When the Lord was on this earth, was he after the numbers?
No.
How many did he choose, really, for his building work? 1,224. 10,000. No, he chose 12. and one was eliminated and replaced by Matthias. Maybe Paul, I don't know which one, but it's up to him. And eventually this 12 became the 12 foundation stones, precious stones, of what the Lord is building, the heavenly Jerusalem. Don't think God's building, he'll just take any stones on the street. Right? What kind of a stone is your house built with? Wood in California. We all build with wood.
Wood and drywall.
That's right.
Very good for burning.
Yes. Dry, like kindling.
That's why we have fire.
That's why we have California fire.
Famous.
Right. So what kind of a church are we building? Paul says we must be building with what? Wood, hay, and stubble? No. We must build with gold, silver, and precious stones. This is the kind of building God wants. I wonder how many of us are considering this every day and every Lord's Day when we come together. Are the saints so precious to you, like precious stone? Yeah. And how much gold do we have? Yeah. What about in Vietnam? What kind of a churches can you find there? What about there in Arizona? We need to ask ourselves and ask the Lord, Lord, what kind of a church do you want to have?
That's right.
Oh, thank you. Yep. This is not made of gold. This is why the last epistle in chapter 3, the Lord says, come to me and buy gold, even not just regular gold, tried in fire, purified. Because you don't want to buy gold that is not pure, right? Especially you don't want to buy fake gold, do you? No, definitely not. Even your son knows not to buy fake gold. Today in this world there are so many fake things. Everything is fake. Outwardly it may look so good. Right. But everything is corrupted, rotten.
Fake president.
Fake election. Everything's fake. Fake news. You can hardly find anything today that is real. Everything is fake. Even Harvard became fake. Fake president. It's really amazing. This, especially now, this is the time that we're living in today. That is a sign that the Lord is coming soon. Really. This is why we call the song this morning. All the signs point to the end. Right? If the Lord would open up your eyes and in the Word, you can realize that whatever is happening today are signs pointing to the end. And you cannot change it. Don't think it's going to get better because you can never turn back the clock. Time goes forward, not backwards. But we Christians go backwards. That's not very good. We have to go forward. There's no other way to go. Go forward to meet our bridegroom and to meet the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to be prepared for his coming. This is why the book of Revelation, chapters 1 to 3, is very important for us. Yeah. The rest of the chapters, yes, it's not that they are not important, but the most important thing, what is in the heart of the Lord, are the churches. And remember, the book of Revelation is very special, different than other epistles and books in the New Testament. Why? Because it is a direct speaking from God himself. The epistles are written by Paul. The greetings are from Paul. Right? The epistle of Peter, James, Jude. Right. They are written by the apostles. But this book in the book of Revelation is a revelation given directly by God to Jesus. And so the Lord spoke directly to us today. What we need today is not man speaking. Too many men speaking. That's why the Bible says there are so many false prophets, false teachers. Many times you just don't know whether what they're saying is right or not. Right? So here it says what? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. God himself gave this revelation to the Lord Jesus. Even Jesus himself received the revelation directly from God. When was the last time you received a revelation directly from God? Cannot even remember. Don't you desire to hear his speaking? Yes. Yeah. We are all used to listening to men speaking. I'm sorry about this conference. I wish I don't have to speak. But I wish the Lord would speak to us through the brothers. Right. But we need his direct speaking. This is why John, especially the apostle John, he said, you don't need any teachers. Why? Because the anointing which you have received from the Holy One dwells in you. And he is true. There's no lie in this anointing. You have to remain in this, to dwell in this anointing and listen to him, to abide in him. I told the Lord many times, you have to speak to me. I need you speaking. Right? I told the Father many times, you want me to do your will? Well, how can I do your will if I don't know it? So you have to speak to me. Without your speaking, how can I do your will? And who can know your will? You know God's will? Maybe a little bit, but a little bit is not enough. There's so much to know. This is why Paul prayed in the book of Ephesians that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give to you all a spirit of wisdom and revelation to the proper full knowledge of him. Because it takes eternity to really know God. Yes, look at his creation. Do you know everything about his creation? No. You travel so much. You know everything in Africa? Just a little Africa you don't know. How can you know God? who created everything, the whole universe. But my question today is, in your heart, do you want to know him? And how desperate are you to know the living God?
Amen.
Do you have a seeking heart for him? Or do you not care? So many Christians, they don't care. That's why they don't read the Bible. Because they don't care to know God. How can you know God if you don't read his word? He already gave you a book and you don't care. Then how about knowing him? Paul says, our fellowship is with the Father. Not Paul, John. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I know so many saints who didn't even call him Father. They only pray to the Lord Jesus. And what about the Father? What about through the indwelling Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Right. This is why here in the first chapter, in the very beginning, who sends the greeting? John the Apostle says, grace and peace be with you all. What did he say, George?
From him who is.
No, from Apostle John.
No.
No? From? St. Peter.
Who is, and who was, and who is to come.
Amen.
And from the seven spirits.
And from the seven spirits. And?
From Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. The firstborn.
The greeting is directly from him. Did you say good morning to the Lord this morning? Really? Wow, you're very special. Did he greet you? It's not from Paul, not from James, not from Peter, not from John, not from Jude, but from this wonderful triune God himself. How wonderful. This is why I said this book is very special. Special in a way that God is now at the very last book of his Bible, because he's coming soon. He's speaking to you directly. Of course he used John. Remember, John is the last of the apostles remaining at that time, at the end of the first century. This book is probably written in 95 AD. Oh, yeah, 95 AD. And John is at least 90 plus years old. Can you imagine? He's the last. He was the youngest when Jesus was on this earth. And he was the oldest when all of them passed away. And he was still very faithful. Faithful to the end. How about you and I? I've seen so many people faithful when they were young. Then after 10 years, they're gone. And some after 20 years, some even after 40 years. And the Lord Jesus here is called, the first one is what? The description? From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. How faithful are you? And how faithful am I? I know so many saints are gone. Not gone because they passed away. Of course, some passed away. But gone because they don't follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Right? In Revelation chapter 14, these are they who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. But maybe he's going in a direction you don't want to go. What would you do, Ju-chan?
I still want to follow.
I am not very sure about that. We'll have to wait when the time comes. But to be faithful is not easy. But John was faithful. He was in where when he saw this vision? In his bedroom, praying, kneeling down, praying. Where was he?
The island.
What was he doing there on vacation? In exile. It was a terrible place. It was not a nice place. No bed, no food. I don't know where he gets his food. In solitary, in a very difficult situation. Can you be faithful in such a situation? Would you be grumbling? I've been a faithful apostle for you, and you put me here at the very end when I'm so old? What are you doing? You're right. Not fair. Not fair. What have I done wrong? Why did you do this to me? You'd be grumbling. I would be grumbling, wouldn't you? What about Paul and Silas in prison? We're doing your work and such a wonderful work, and you put us here in prison? What were they doing in prison? Grumbling? They were praying and singing. Would you be doing that if you were in prison? What about you, Emmanuel? I don't know what I would be doing if I were in prison. Not just Emmanuel, but Grandpa. What am I going to do in prison? Lord, what did I do? Why did you put me here? But these brothers are so faithful. John, the faithful servant. You think the Lord will give such a wonderful revelation as written in this book to an unfaithful servant? Would you? If you want to see more revelation, then you have to be a faithful servant. Then the Lord will give you a revelation. If you're not faithful, you will see nothing. You will see nothing. Right. This is why, in a very short way, right, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. That means not only to John, but the Lord is looking for faithful servants, because John cannot be the only faithful one, but at that time he was the only faithful one. The rest of his colleagues, the other apostles, were already martyred. To show his servants things which must shortly take place, and his sentence signified it by his angel to his servant John. Faithful servant John. Amen. John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. You know, don't share anything that you did not see. Don't just give a theological message and interpretation of the Bible. Because you wouldn't know whether you're speaking the right thing or not. He's a faithful witness. A witness is a martyr. The same word, right? You know that. I've mentioned it many times. What does it mean to be a martyr? Meaning to say, at all cost you speak the truth of what you have seen. Then you're a faithful witness. But nobody wants the truth. Today you speak the truth, you'll be imprisoned. You lie, you'll be rewarded. Isn't that true in this country? If you stand for the truth, they're going to persecute you to the end. If you speak the truth, you will be a martyr. So a witness is one who speaks the truth. But what is the truth? Who is the truth? Not what, but who. It's what you have seen, what you have heard, what your hands have touched concerning the word of life, just like 1 John chapter 1. John was a witness. He's not interpreting the scripture, but we are all interpreting the Bible. But John, no, he is an apostle, a faithful witness. He was with the Lord. He heard so many things directly from him. And his hand is touched and even handled and beheld. Right? That means not only looking from afar, but he was with him. He was even lying on the bosom of the Lord. He was the beloved apostle. He was in every step of the way, wherever the Lord went, he was there. And so what John had spoken and written is not his interpretation, not from second, third hand, fourth hand, the books that handed down 500 years ago. But very up to date, what he personally has seen and heard and handled. Where can we find such servants today? If you want to be a servant, then be such a servant. Be faithful to the word of God. He is a witness. He bore witness to the word of God. And if you want to understand that, you have to go to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Right. And you have to know the anointing, because he will reveal to you many things that the Lord will tell you. And then to the testimony of Jesus Christ. What was the testimony of Jesus Christ when he was on this earth? That means in his human life, he expresses God. He didn't say one thing and live in a different way, like many of us. Right. After the message, you go home, you become a different person. That's not your testimony of the living Word of God. He testified God in every situation, wherever he did. He not only preached the Word of God, he testified in his living concerning this God. He expressed the glory of God everywhere he went. Not just by his word, but by his human life and his human living. That is the testimony of Jesus. He himself was a testimony. Yeah. This is the faithful servant of the Lord, right? Who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus, to all things that he had learned in the theological seminary. Seminary. I always convince these two words, I'm sorry. Right? To all things that he saw. Have you ever told the Lord, I want to see more of you? Show me.
Yes.
Reveal to me.
Amen.
Take away all the veils that is covering my eyes.
Amen.
Heal my blindness, my deafness.
Yes.
I don't want to be blind. Mm. I want to see.
Oh.
I want to see. Right. How can we be witnesses if we don't see? You cannot be a witness if you don't see. It's not good enough just to hear what people say. That's why it says, "You blessed is he who reads." Reads what? The books. Right? The words of many books. The words of many so-called studies. What kind of studies? What? I don't know what studies. What other people have studied. No. The words of this prophecy. And keep those things that are written in it, for the time is near. No time to waste. No time to waste. It's very important. Right? To come to the word of eternal life. It's not the word of doctrines, not theological teachings, not interpretation of men. But the words of God are the words of eternal life. Let me underline this sentence again. No other books written by men, I don't care who they are and what name they have, no other books can replace the Bible, the living Word of God. Man's interpretation cannot replace God's Word. Do you think God will give you a Bible that you cannot understand at all? Of course not. Our God is not stupid like me. Our God is the most wise God,
Amen.
Full of wisdom. He will not give you a book that you cannot understand. You think so? Right. So, the spirit that God has given us is a spirit of wisdom and understanding. And if you don't understand, then he will be your counselor. So it's called the spirit of counseling. And if you know but you have no strength, it's also called the spirit of power. In Isaiah 11. And if you lack and you want to know more, he is called the spirit of knowledge. But then one thing you must have is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Otherwise you just go and know everything, become so proud and do whatever you want to do. Without the fear of God, it's dangerous to know the Bible. Then you'll be doing your own work and build mega churches and become a trillionaire and be so corrupt. Don't think it is easy to be a servant of God. Nothing is easy. What do you want to study?
Engineering.
Is it easy?
No.
No. Then why study? Just be a bum. No need to study. No, why do you have to study? Not because it's easy. It's challenging. It's really challenging. Electrical engineering? Wow, that's the worst engineering to study.
The hardest.
Hardest? Yeah. That's why it's the worst.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, is it easy to be a servant of the Lord? You want to be one? Praise the Lord. It's harder than being an electrical engineer.
Yes.
Because if you don't learn right, you're going to electrocute yourself.
Yep.
No kidding. Right? That's why your dad didn't want you to be an electrician. Dangerous. To be a servant of God is not easy. Don't think it is an easy thing. No. You think the Lord as the servant of God living on this earth was easy? Was it an easy job for him? He was not praised by people. But today all the pastors and big shots, they are praised by people. Do you want to be praised by people? Then you're not a servant of God. No one who speaks the truth will be popular. Because you want to speak only what people like to hear, then you're popular. Right. So, servant, his servant, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads. So please read. Read the right book. Read the book. It's called the book. There are many, many books, but no other books can replace the book. Right. And then those who hear the words of this prophecy, don't just listen to anything. Really, a lot of Christians just listen to anything. Yeah, the words of this particular prophecy. And then keep it. That means do whatever it says. Follow whatever the word says in this book. Those things that are written in it for the time is near. Now, then in verse 4, you have greetings from the triune God. Wonderful. It's the first time mentioned in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it perhaps was already mentioned. The one who is, who was, and who is to come. It's an amazing name. Have you ever thought about this name? Juchan. No? Don't worry. You're not the only one who never thought about this name. Maybe many of us here. Have you ever thought about this name? Yeah? Who is? Who was? And who is to come? He is the I am, the verb to be. He is everything. I don't have time this morning to share so much into it because that's not a main thing right now. But think about it. Everything in the past, God knows. When were you saved? George?
1963, I think.
Not before the foundation of the world? you see? He didn't go far enough in the past. God asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? We were already chosen before the foundation of the world. Yeah. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. And what did Paul say in the book of Galatians? When was he chosen to be an apostle? Of course, he didn't say before the foundation of the world, but he says, I was already chosen in my mother's womb, huh? Even before he was born. Can you imagine that? So when did he choose you to be here today? You were chosen already in your mother's womb. Aren't you glad you were born not in some kind of a strange family somewhere? Very glad. You're happy. Because God already knew everything in the past. Paul said he was already called when he was in his mother's womb. And it was God's good pleasure to reveal Christ in him. Don't think it is by accident. Nothing is by accident. Why did you come to Los Angeles? Why did you come to California? Why? What was God's plan and purpose before the foundation of the world for you to meet Timo here? Was it an accident? It looks like an accident, right? I never thought that I would be a kind of a servant of the Lord. I didn't go to Germany to be a servant of the Lord. I went there to be something else. But the Lord called me. What can I do? Was that an accident? When you came to Europe with Logoship, you know what the Lord told me before you came, even? Because I've been praying for my brother George, and the Lord says, I'm sending him to your lap. That's why I drove to England, Mary and I, not flying to England. Because the Lord told me. Now is the time. I'm sending him to Europe, to your lap. The Lord knows everything. I didn't know. I didn't plan that. He's the God who was, who knew everything in the past. He created the whole universe. Yeah. So everything is arranged by God. You need to know him. Nothing is just happening. We all need to see and know this great almighty God, the only wise God. He's so great. And the one who is today, he is doing so many things with us. Trust in God. Amen. Trust in God. Amen. Where you want to go to school, trust in him. Because he knows. Not only today he knows, but even before you were born he knows. So trust in him. He knows the best. He knows the best. And he knows the future. He's the one who will be coming. Don't worry about your future. Nope, I don't worry about my future. Right? Of course we all know we want to inherit a kingdom. How? Oh, you're worried every day. How? You're so worried. No. He knows. Trust in him. And he will show you. He will lead you. Because he knows the future. Do you? A lot of people ask, what's going to happen in the new heaven and new earth? I said, get there first. Then you'll find out. Don't worry about it. You go there first, and then you'll find out. God knows everything. He prepared everything. I'm not worried whether new heaven and new earth there's going to be a Mercedes-Benz or not. I assure you there won't be any Mercedes-Benz. But let me tell you, you have to know this wonderful God. He's the great I Am. Moses asked him, what should I tell the people who sent me? What is your name? The Lord told him, my name is I Am. I Am. That's a wonderful name. Have you ever heard anybody called I Am? I know of a brother whose name is Who. And he always joked about it. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, not who, but what. What? What? His name is What. And so people always ask him, and he made a joke out of it, what is your name? What? He says, What? And the person says, yeah, what? He says, what? That's not a good name, What? But I Am. Whether it's in the past, present, or future, He is. There's no limit to this wonderful God. No beginning and no end, just like what Hebrews chapter 7 says. Just like unto the Son of God. Without beginning of days and end of life. He's eternal. Such a wonderful God. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. Because we're not God. But we trust in such a living God. A wonderful God. Anyway, my burden today is not to talk about that, maybe some other time. The burden this morning is to talk about, firstly, the priesthood, the golden lampstand, and the Son of Man walking in the midst of the lampstand. Because this chapter is about the priesthood. Maybe you say, no, I don't see the word priesthood here. Of course you don't see. Where is the lampstand placed?
In the holy place.
In the holy place. And who enters into the holy place to serve the lampstand?
The priest.
The priest. The high priest. So the golden lampstand with the Son of Man walking in the midst of the lampstand, what does it tell you? It tells you the golden lampstand with this great high priest there shows that the whole thing is a matter of the priesthood, the holy and the royal priesthood, whether you like it or not. And this is why we all need to be thankful the Lord at the end of this age is teaching us to practice the priesthood.
Amen.
You cannot find a lampstand outside of the holy place. And no one except the priesthood and the great high priest enters in, especially to make atonement into the Holy of Holies once a year. And the high priest should go in every morning to trim the lamb, add oil, and burn incense there. This is all a matter of the priestly service. It's not just a church. Well, there's so many different kinds. There's the Catholic Church, there's the Protestant Church, there's the state churches, there are so many denominations. So many different kinds. But the golden lampstand is a special. It's very special. Don't think it's just a normal church. What is a church? That's why in this first chapter of the book of Revelation, the churches are the golden lampstands. So if the Lord will open your eyes and enlighten the eyes of your heart and your mind, then you'll understand that the churches is exactly what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, a spiritual house and a holy priesthood. That is the lampstand. Clear? Okay, then we can stop the meeting. If you're all clear. This is the vision that the Lord has enlightened us. It's not just church. Oh, where are you going on Sunday? I'm going to church. Which church? Some people say, I'm going to your church. Wrong. This is not our church. It is the golden lampstand in a holy place. It's a spiritual house. It's a royal and holy priesthood. And that's why for a priesthood, we need a great high priest, a high priest. During the Old Testament days, Aaron is the high priest. You cannot have a priesthood without a high priest. Can you have a nation without a president? Not a fake one, of course. If you have a fake president, oh, it's horrible. Yeah. Right. So we need a high priest. And a high priest is there, given, appointed by God. In the Old Testament, it's according to the order of Aaron, but that's only a shadow, a picture. In the New Covenant, Jesus Christ is our great high priest, not only our Savior. Not only our Savior. That's why you have the book of Hebrews. It's a great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. It's the king of righteousness and king of peace. Righteousness and peace, these two things are very crucial. Are very crucial. It's not righteousness according to your own standard. The Lord Jesus Christ is our righteousness. It is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus manifested. Not right according to your own standard. No. This is why Paul says in Philippians, I don't want to be found in my own righteousness, which is according to the law, but righteousness according to God. It's God's righteousness in and through Christ Jesus by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why in the church life, just don't think, oh, I'm doing this because I think it's right. And then the other brother says, no, 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 that's not right. This is the right one. And then everybody has their own opinion what is right. That is not righteousness. But this wonderful, great high priest serves in the heavenly Jerusalem, heavenly Zion, the city of the living God. Right? Wonderful, great high priest. This is why right there in chapter 1 you have the great high priest, the Son of Man, walking in the midst of the lampstand. It's very different than the one described in, although it's the same person, but very different than the one described in the book of Hebrews. He is right there in the heavens interceding for you. Your problem is there, able to help you, all of your problem, because he went through the problems and we are all happy about that. Oh, Lord, I have a lot of problems. Help me. Right. This is a very different aspect and very near to you. Very near to us. He's walking in our midst, but we didn't even realize that among the churches has a great heavenly high priest according to the order of Melchizedek walking in our midst. That's why we are so loose and we do everything and anything we like. And we come and go. I don't like you. Goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen. We just leave. How do you say goodbye in Korean? Wow, too complicated. I'll just say goodbye. You didn't just say bye. We are so loose. We do whatever we like. Because we don't know this great heavenly high priest walking in the midst of the lampstand. This is the problem. If we do, our fellowship and our relationship with one another and with him will be very different. Let us take a look just quickly. Yeah, because that is actually the main thing to see. Beginning in verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. Praise the Lord. The Lord spoke to him directly. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one, like the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest or the breast with a golden band. This is the great high priest. This is the priestly garment of our Lord Jesus Christ as a great high priest. A wonderful garment. I think a few days ago, last Lord's Day, right, we talked about the garment in Exodus chapter 28, briefly, just very simple. Right. We need more time, but it doesn't matter as long as you see it, then the Lord will continue to lead you. Right. And girded about the chest with a golden band, it's amazing. Usually a band, a girdle is here. I don't wear my belt here, unless I have a sword here. But it's a golden band around the breast, because the breast signifies the love. That means he cares for the churches with divine love. How do you care for the churches? Right. We need his love. Christ loves the church. Not with a human love, but with his divine love. Okay, let's continue. Yeah. His head and hair were white like wool, white as snow. You have to go back to Daniel chapter 7. Seeing God sitting on the throne, exactly this description. His hair and his head were white like wool and like snow. My hair is white, but it's not like wool. It's white because I'm old. I'm old. I'm not ancient, but I'm very old. I'm not like Juchan with black hair. I used to have black hair. But now I have white hair like George. But it's because I'm old. But a lamb like wool is born white. That's the nature. It's white, not because the lamb was so old, born old. Were you born with white hair? No. Because that's the nature. It's not a matter of oldness, but it's a matter of purity, pure white. And snow came from where? Came from above, heavenly. Heavenly, full of heavenly wisdom. But you know, people usually say, oh, white hair or silver hair is a sign of wisdom. That's not true. That's half true. If you read Proverbs, only if he walks righteously. I quote the first part, but not the second part. No, I've seen a lot of people with white hair that's not wise, including myself. To have white hair doesn't mean that you're wise. No, definitely not. But our Lord is not old. Right? Oh, I have white hair, but I'm full of wrinkles. But Ephesians chapter 5 says, without spot or wrinkle. Are you without spot or wrinkle? No. So that means you're old, like me. But our Lord, no. Right. His wisdom is heavenly. The wisdom of God. Right. Just what the book of Romans says. Oh, the wisdom of God. It's unfathomable, the depth of his wisdom. Nobody is wiser than God. Just look at the way he created everything. Just look at the way he created you. It's a very beautiful design. You cannot add, if you make the nose longer, it'll be like an elephant. It won't look nice. Your ears is just the right size. If you have ears like a rabbit, that's not good. Right, if you just look at how God created human being according to his image, I always praise God. I say, God, you are a wonderful creator, full of wisdom. Amen. Would you like to have a hand with 8 fingers? No. Isn't it better? No. No. What about only 4? Without a thumb. What about 5 thumbs? Don't you know that this plus this, right, is the same? It's wonderful. Everything is in such a balance. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's God's wisdom. You like to have 2 mouths? One is enough, right? What about 1 eye in the front, 1 eye in the back? Don't you like to have a panoramic vision?
That's what makes my job very hard.
God is full of wisdom. He knows the future, he knows the past, he knows what's going on, everything. That's why all the problems is already solved. Before Adam fell, the book tells us the Lamb is already prepared before the foundation of the world. That's why God was not afraid, okay, let a serpent do what he wants to do. Because God already prepared a solution before the foundation of the world. And when the earth was created, then Christ, the Lamb, was already slain there. It was already prepared fully. Only in time it was fulfilled on the cross in Golgotha. That was God's wisdom. He's a wise God. Don't think you're wiser than God. No, you're not, okay? Yeah. And his eyes are like a flame of fire. Wow. How about your eyes and my eyes without glasses? Flame of fire, I cannot see anything. Yeah. People always laugh at my eyes because they are so small. Some people says, John, can you still see when you smile? I said, that's my secret, don't tell me. Don't think if I smile, I don't see you. But his eyes is a flame of fire. It has X-ray vision. He is God who searches the heart and the inner part, the hidden part of your heart. He sees everything. Nothing is hidden from him. It's like a flame of fire. And he not only sees a flame, also burns you. Right. It's not simple. When the Lord sees, he judges. It's not just he sees and he doesn't care. Many times in a church life we see but we don't care. Or we are afraid to do the right thing. Oh, we see the problem, but don't touch it, don't touch it. It's a problem. Oh, what problem? If you see a flame of fire, then that flame also burns you. That's why don't hide anything from God, from him. Don't hide. It's foolish. Because he knows it. Anyway, I'm trying to hide something from the one who sees everything. Are you kidding me?
That's foolish.
Well, that's very foolish. But his burning is not to judge and kill you, but to heal you.
Amen.
Right? You know, the infrared light is for the healing, not for the killing. Not for the killing. So when the Lord exposes through his word, don't be afraid to be exposed. Because when the Lord exposes you, he wants to heal you. Don't hide things from him. Don't play hide and seek with God. He doesn't need to seek. Then the psalm says, if you go to hell, he's there. You go to the depths of the ocean, he's there. You go to the North Pole, he's there. You hide in the heavens somewhere, he's also there. Jonah couldn't hide, you're right. So don't hide. It's foolish to hide, but tell the Lord, heal me.
Amen.
Lord, whatever you see in me, heal me.
That's right.
I need healing. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
And his feet like fine brass. It's good. Fine brass, that is really judgment. His eyes is healing, but his feet is judgment. That's why he says he makes all of his enemies his footstool. I don't want to be under his feet, to be trampled. To be trampled underfoot is not healing. It's judgment. Brass in the Bible signifies judgment. Yeah, brass as if refined in a furnace. Refined because God's judgment is true and righteous. He doesn't just judge because he dislikes it. We judge because we don't like it. We don't like this, we don't like that. Well, it's your judgment. It's not refined. Yeah. But refine in a furnace. The Lord never judge according to what his eyes see, but according to the fear of the Lord. That's why his judgment is always right and righteous. And his voice as the sound of many waters, awesome. We always like to hear words that are sweet and nice. What about if somebody criticizes you? Are you happy? You criticize your little boy, what is his name?
Enoch.
Because he's not walking with God yet. So if you say no, he will react to you.
Yeah, then he says no to me.
You see, this is exactly what's happening with us.
Yes.
Right? But the voice of the Lord is very majestic. It has authority in His words, not vain words. We speak a lot of vain, empty words. But the sound of many waters, and He had in His right hand seven stars. In the coming meetings, we can share about the stars. But the stars are the messengers of the churches. Don't think it is a position to serve as an elder or a responsible brother. I saw many irresponsible brothers, not responsible brothers. They are not called responsible brothers. The brethren didn't want to use the word elders, so they call themselves responsible brothers. But they are in reality irresponsible brothers, because you're bringing wrong things to the saints. You're irresponsible. Yep, we need to be the stars in His right hand, under His divine authority. And stars. Stars are down on the ground. Only Christmas stars are down on the ground somewhere. Well, they are the fake stars. And then out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Wonderful. Right. For the enemy it is deadly. Just like in Revelation chapter 19, with the mouth out of His, or the sword out of His mouth, He slayed the enemies. But in Hebrews chapter 4, it is to, like a surgeon knife, to expose the thoughts and intents of the heart so that He can heal us. And to take it out, cut out what is not supposed to be there. If I have cancer, then I need a knife.
Yeah.
Right? If not, I need a chemo. But knife or chemo, it depends.
Yeah.
And His countenance was like the sun shining in its strength.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Do we have and do we know such a heavenly, glorious high priest walking in our midst or not? Yeah. So, I'm going to end here, right? But you have to read it yourself and ponder on it with prayer.
Yes.
So that you can understand and tell the Lord, I want to know You as such a Christ, not just the one who died on the cross. Salvation is free. Right, not of works, but to perfect us, we need such a great high priest to practice a priesthood. Don't think of it as, well, okay, I'll just bring something to the Lord. No, we need to respect and to see such a great high priest walking in our midst, not just during the meeting, but hey, in our daily living. Because we are priests. The priest has to be holy and not mixed with so many other things. I wish we can come back and go back to fellowship concerning the priesthood. Yep, and when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. That's what we all need to do.
Yeah.
Right. If you see the one who died on the cross, you will be thankful, oh, praise the Lord, you died for me. But here, John fell at his feet like a dead man. Because, hey, he is such a glorious Christ that is very different from what we know traditionally. This Christ mentioned here is exactly the opposite, very different from the Lamb of God mentioned in the Gospel of John. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But here it is such a majestic, burning, I don't even have a word to describe this wonderful Christ here. Awesome, fearful, frightening. John even saw him and fell at his feet like dead, because it was very different from the Christ that he saw in the gospel time. We all need to see such a Christ that we will really have the fear of the Lord, the real fear of the Lord.
Amen.
Then our priesthood will be okay. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's stop right here. Time is up. We can have some prayers. And you can have some fellowship if you want to. I don't know about lunchtime. Are we going to have lunch here?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So have some prayers, yeah?